Welcome to session 29, Assertion, Self-Esteem, and Recovery. Today, we explore the way we communicate with people and the way we respond to situations and requests. A common denominator in many sufferers of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia is a tendency to please other people, a pattern of behaviour that puts the needs of others before ourselves can lead to us becoming very depleted. This cycle of overgiving is closely tied into our beliefs about our own sense of self-worth and self-esteem. Into this mix, it's common to experience feelings of anxiety that can be present. Your hormonal balance is disturbed through adrenal dysregulation or low thyroid function. It's easy to see how we end up with a recipe for emotional and physical meltdown or overwhelm when any additional life challenges occur. Those of us who have become used to taking on other people's responsibilities can also suffer terrible guilt when it's just not possible to do that anymore. In short, we beat ourselves up for not being able to be there for everybody else. So, what's the answer if you have developed people-pleasing habits? The first step is to address your core values, which we covered in depth in session 13, and to address any limiting beliefs we hold about ourselves, which we tackled in session 19. If that is one you didn't spend much time on, and you struggle with saying no to guilt, then it's worth a revisit. The next step is to learn some very simple magical words that allow us to communicate in a way that enhances our health and self-esteem at the same time through using an assertive approach. Elaine explains, "For years, I used to feel I had to say yes to demands from customers, friends, and family. It meant that people were very happy with the outcome of every conversation they had with me. I would say yes immediately when I was asked a favour, no matter how full my timetable was. If I said no, I felt guilty. I would volunteer when others were reluctant to, and then I would wish I had kept quiet when the task became much more than I'd bargained for. When I was a child, I used to volunteer at school for everything. On one occasion, I volunteered at my dance school for my mum to make 16 ballet costumes. This did not go down very well with my poor mum, who already had enough to cope with, bringing up 4 children. This habit continued until I got ill and finally let go of what I call my saint or martyr phase. What about you? Do you have a history of volunteering your time and energy to help or agreeing to any and every request? And what drives this? It's often fear of not being accepted as you are. It's born out of a fear that you are not enough, so you're constantly having to prove your worth. It's also a need to be approved of, liked, or needed. There is certainly a lovely short-term payoff. People say things like, "You're a godsend," and "Thank you so much. I don't know what I'd do without you. I don't know how you fit it all in. You're amazing. I can see my old halo shining brightly." Comments like that are music to a people pleaser's ears, and so the cycle continues. It was when I began teaching in further education that I learned about assertion skills and taught them to women returners and later to both men and women at all levels in corporate organisations. I learned that the feelings of overwhelm and resentment are the real price of this doormat or martyr type response to every request, and was amazed at the realisation that we can quickly learn some new strategies and simple phrases to stop us from allowing people to take advantage of us. And the best bit is, you no longer feel guilty once you understand how to be assertive. It'll be really useful at this point to stop reading or listening and take a few moments to do the well-being exercise in your downloads for week 29. How assertive are you? This will give you a good indication of what will be most useful to focus on in the rest of the session. Okay, so how did you score? Now you have the answer to how assertive you are at this time, let's learn some more about assertion. There are four types of responses to any given situational request. They are direct aggressive, passive, indirect aggressive, and assertive. Aggressive communication is a learned behavior that has almost been copied or mirrored from a significant adult. When their self-esteem is low, many children learn to react by getting angry and use an aggressive approach to try to get their own way and control others. It's not always violent. Aggressive people are opinionated, dictatorial, bossy, and controlling. And they will say things like, "If I were you, I would do X." Or when you explain your plan, you might hear a direct aggressive dismissal of your idea immediately, saying something like, "That's rubbish. What you need to do is." Aggressives are easy to spot because they will try and bulldoze you into submission. They want to be right all the time and get their own way. The short-term gain is that they get what they want. The downside is that people will keep things hidden from them because they can't stand the fallout that follows if they tell the truth. Passive behaviour. This could not be more opposite. Passive people put up with bad behaviour from others or do things they don't really want to do to keep everyone else happy. A passive will avoid conflict at any cost, often refusing to stand up for themselves and rarely asking for what they need. This is the doormat syndrome. Although the opposite of aggressive, it is yet again born out of low self-esteem and fear, which is why they don't stand up for themselves or voice an opinion in case someone disapproves. This type of behaviour generates a victim mentality where they wait for something to change and feel helpless. It's a poor me mindset. This refusal to take responsibility is called learned helplessness. The payoff for giving in to all demands and letting others put upon them and put them down is that they can maintain the status quo. They get to avoid conflict at all costs. When asked to make a choice, they will fear being in the wrong. So they will say, "I don't mind. Whatever you want to do is fine." Passives apologise all the time for things that are not their fault. You'll generally find that aggressives choose to marry or partner with a passive. They will be guaranteed to get their own way. The irony is that although this means they get their needs met, they often get angry that their passive partner will never make a decision. Passive people often overgive to others because they get their self-esteem from being needed. However, they often experience a lot of hidden resentment, which eventually manifests in health issues. The next behaviour type is called indirect aggression. This one is so interesting because it's less easy to spot. It's a sniper's bullet. It comes at you without warning from a sideways slight aimed at you. This type of behaviour is communicated three ways. Firstly, by sarcastic, jokey, or backhanded compliments. For example, "Oh, you've had your hair cut. That looks a lot better." Secondly, through manipulation. "Please do it for me. I don't have anyone else to ask." And finally, by inducing guilt. "I don't mind if you haven't got the time to visit. I'm used to spending Saturdays all on my own. You go and enjoy yourself." These comments all have a sting in their tail. They leave you feeling uncomfortable or guilty. If you speak up and ask them why they said that, or tell them you're offended, they will dismiss your comments by accusing you of being oversensitive or not being able to take a joke or taking it all the wrong way. They never take responsibility for their comments. This is yet again born out of low self-esteem. They do not have the courage to be honest about how they feel, so they do it in an underhand way. Direct aggressives and indirect aggressives prey on passive people and will abuse them. For that reason, I'll be taking a more in-depth look at what constitutes abuse after our section on assertive behaviour. Do you recognise yourself and those you know in any of what you've read so far about aggressive, indirect aggressive, or passive behaviours? Don't worry. Once we're aware of alternative ways to communicate and respond, we will in turn get a very different response back. Let's look at assertive behaviour now. Assertive communication. When we're assertive, we come from a very equal and even perspective. We are able to be in control of our lives and emotions, which helps us to feel empowered and allows us to be respected when we communicate with others. Remember, you will only be treated the way you allow yourself to be treated. The responsibility is yours. Assertion is an adult, open-minded approach that embraces honesty, fairness, and compromise. When we are assertive, we have very distinct boundaries and can acknowledge that our needs are equal to others. We treat ourselves and others with respect, aiming for a win-win result in every interaction. When we treat ourselves and others this way, we build great self-esteem and handle things promptly rather than avoiding challenging situations. Principles of assertion. No one can make you feel inferior without your consent. Eleanor Roosevelt. Honest, open, and direct communication. Setting clear personal boundaries and not letting others violate them. Taking personal responsibility for your feelings. Avoiding blaming or defensive behaviour. Saying no without feeling guilty. Respecting the other person's viewpoint, even if you don't agree with it. Feeling you have the right to express your opinion. Acknowledging when you have made a mistake. Asking for your needs to be met. Ensuring you treat your own needs with the same level of importance as another person's. Being proactive and not waiting for things, people, or circumstances to change. Being willing to give people the benefit of the doubt until you've heard all the facts. Responding calmly in a situation rather than reacting. Aiming for a win-win for both parties. Being prepared to work towards a compromise. In the interview for this session, Elaine explains how you go about developing an assertive communication style. In the exercises this week, there are some great, easy-to-learn scripts with the magic words that get you a more favourable response. We can never change another person. However, when you have clear boundaries and have built your self-esteem, people respond positively. The Assertion Toolkit. The 7 tools for effective assertion. Appropriate body language. A serious message needs a serious expression. When you smile or fail to make eye contact or shift nervously, your message is weakened. Sit up straight, shoulders back, maintain eye contact and keep still. Plan ahead and set the scene. Work out what you're going to say. Practice with a friend. Think what outcome you're prepared to accept. And know what you will be happy to accept in the way of a compromise. Ask to speak to the person at a time to suit you both. And don't have any of these conversations if you're upset or angry. You'll give away your power. Honesty about your feelings. Use I statements. I feel upset when you call me names. I feel under pressure when you call me at short notice. I feel awkward bringing this up. Concise statements. You will be more effective if you talk about the person's behaviour because that can change. Avoid saying, "You're so horrible to me." Instead, say, "When you ignore my opinions, I feel really hurt. I am not prepared to be treated that way." Persistence and repetition. Become a parrot. Say it over and over in a calm but firm manner. Pushy people who are used to getting their own way will try every way to manipulate you to do what they want. They will try to make you feel guilty. I know you would prefer me to come with you. However, this is what I have chosen to do. Use empathy. Listen fully to what they have to say, and when they run out of words, you say, I can see you're in a tight spot. It must be challenging. However, I am going to say no. Work for a win-win. If you can both leave the room feeling that you've been listened to and respected, you have done brilliantly. I'm glad we had this chat. I can see that we are obviously both under pressure, and I hadn't realised how much you're dealing with. It's nice to have sorted everything out. The exercises will enable you to say no without feeling guilty, to ask for what you need, to give criticism gracefully, to handle criticism aimed at you gracefully. Assertion is all about being true to you. So ask yourself, do you really want to get well? Then you have to eliminate the dishonesty from your life. Stop doing things out of fear of consequences. Being honest means that you are being true to who you really are. When you say yes but mean no or make excuses, you are living a lie. You cannot lie to your body. Bodies listen to your innermost desires. It hears you hate your job. It creates an illness so you can't do the job. The symptoms develop when you fail to note the little warning messages. Has this happened to you? You get asked by a friend who makes you feel bad about yourself to go out to a party. You get a pang of dread in your gut, your heart, or your throat, while your mind races to find an excuse. That is your clever body reminding you that this person is not a friend you need to get out of that friendship. Instead, you say yes or lie to get out of going. When you do this over and over in a relationship or a career, the body stops sending colds and headaches and it starts stepping up the warning to red alert and you get ill. Then guess what we focus on? Fixing the illness instead of addressing the message your body wants to hear. So do listen to every little feeling. Your body is an amazing navigator. Let us know how you get on with the assertion exercises. They can really change your life. And if you would like to learn more in a practical way, we have a special course to help you do just that. It's called Step Out, Step Up, The Gift of Confident Communication. Just email the office for details. Earlier, I promised to take you through some facts that may surprise you about what constitutes abuse. Abuse is a strong word. However, I think it warrants taking a little time to understand what is meant by abuse, as it takes many forms. And once we understand the parameters, we can be alert and protect ourselves and our self-esteem. Forms of physical abuse are obviously cruel. Emotional abuse is more subtle. Quite often, such abuse goes unseen, as the victim does not even recognise that he or she is being abused. Although emotional abuse does not leave black eyes or visible bruises, it's often more seriously damaging to your self-esteem. Emotional abuse is cruel and scars your soul. Physical or sexual abuse is always accompanied and often follows emotional abuse, i.e. emotional battering is used to wear the victim down, often over a long period of time, to undermine self-concept, until he or she is willing to take responsibility for her abuser's actions and behaviour towards her, or simply accept it. Types of abuse. We tend to think of domestic abuse as physical violence or assault on a wife. In reality, however, domestic abuse is a summary of physically, sexually, and psychologically abusive behaviours directed by one partner against another, regardless of their marital status or gender. Generally, when one form of abuse exists, it's coupled with other forms as well. Domestic abuse does not just affect people of a certain race, age, gender, or background, but knows no ethnic, cultural, or personal borders. Domestic abuse may also be defined by identifying its function. That function might be the domination, punishment, or control of another person. Abusers use physical and sexual violence, threats, money, emotional and psychological abuse to control their partners and get their way. Sometimes domestic abuse is better understood by its effect on the victim than by the specific actions of the abuser. Let's look at the categories of abuse and the potential effects. Emotional and psychological abuse. Many forms of abuse are obviously cruel. Emotional abuse is more subtle. Quite often, such abuse goes unseen as the victim does not recognise that he or she is being abused. Although emotional abuse does not leave black eyes or visible bruises, it's more seriously damaging to your self-esteem. Emotional abuse is cruel and scars your soul. And as we know, it is emotional trauma that's so often suppressed and causes many of the symptoms of chronic fatigue. Physical or sexual abuse is always accompanied and often follows emotional abuse, i.e. emotional battering is used to wear the victim down, often over a long period of time, to undermine self-concept until he or she is willing to take responsibility for her abuser's actions and behaviours, or simply accept it. Emotional and psychological abuse can encompass a variety of behaviours that will be easily recognisable by those experiencing them, but often remain completely unnoticed by others. These include isolation. The abuser will control whom the victim sees, where he or she goes, whom they speak to and what they do. This can take the form of simply not allowing them to use the phone, have friends round or visit family. The perpetrator will ensure that trying to do these things is simply not worth it by being in a bad mood because he or she left something undone or making the abused feel guilty that you were out enjoying yourself while they are stuck at home. Or even encouraging you theoretically to make friends and then discounting them or complaining that you care more for your friends, family, hobby than you do for your partner or that you're neglecting them in some way. Some abusers may move home frequently to prevent their victim from building a social support network. Many perpetrators justify their control over their victim by stating that it's proof of their love or that they worry about their safety when they're out, when in reality, however, the abuser needs to isolate their victim to feel secure themselves. They feel as though any relationship, be it family, friend, or colleague, will undermine their authority and pose a threat of taking their partner away from them. The effect of this isolation is that the victim feels very alone in their struggle, doesn't have anyone with whom to do a reality check, and is ultimately totally dependent on the abuser for all of their social needs. Forms of isolation include checking up on you, accusing you of unfaithfulness, moving to an isolated area, ensuring you lack transport or a telephone, making your friends or family feel uncomfortable when visiting so that they cease visits, punishing you for being 10 minutes late home from work by complaining, bad moods, criticism or physical abuse, not allowing you to leave the house on your own or taking away your passport, demanding a report on your actions and conversations, preventing you from working, not allowing any activity which excludes them, finding fault with your friends and family, insisting on taking you to and collecting you from work. In extreme cases, the victim may be reduced to episodes of literally becoming a prisoner, being locked in a room and denied basic necessities, such as warmth, food, toilet, or washing facilities. Other family members or the perpetrator's friends can also be used to keep an eye on the victim, acting effectively as prison guards. Verbal abuse. When thinking of verbal abuse, we tend to envisage the abuser hurling insulting names at the victim. And whilst this obviously does happen, there are many more forms than name-calling. The abuser may use critical, insulting, or humiliating remarks. For example, you've got a mind like ditch water, you're stupid. Or not using your correct name, for example, referring to you as him or her, he or she. Or by stonewalling, by withholding conversation or refusal to discuss issues. Another method is keeping you up all night, insisting on talking when you need sleep. Verbal abuse undermines your sense of self-worth, your self-concept, who you think you are, by discounting your ideals, opinions, or beliefs. Verbal abuse can include yelling or shouting at you, making threats, insulting you or your family, being sarcastic or mocking or criticizing your interests, opinions, or beliefs, humiliating you in private or in company, sneering, growling, name-calling, withholding approval, appreciation, or conversation, refusal to discuss issues which are important to you, laughing or making fun of you inappropriately, leaving nasty messages, accusing you of unfaithfulness, not trying hard enough, or purposely doing something to annoy, blaming you for their failures or other forms of abuse. All of these abusive behaviours prohibit normal, healthy interaction between two adults, as well as a lack of respect for individual thoughts, feelings, and opinions. A healthy mutual interaction and conversation between two persons respects and promotes the rights of each partner to their own individual thoughts, perceptions, and values. Serious Crime Act 2015 recognised the offence of controlling or coercive behaviour, where the perpetrator and the victim are personally connected. This was further updated in 2021 to include partners who no longer live together. Financial abuse. Financial abuse can take many forms, denying you access to all funds, making you solely responsible for all finances while handling money irresponsibly themselves. Money becomes a tool by which the abuser can further control the victim, either ensuring financial dependence on them or by shifting the responsibility of keeping a roof over the family's head onto the victim, while simultaneously denying your ability to do so or obstructing you. Financial abuse can include the following: preventing you from getting or keeping a job, denying you sufficient money, having to account for every penny spent, denying access to checkbooks, accounts, and finances, putting all bills in your name, demanding your wages, spending money allocated to bills and groceries on themselves, forcing you to beg or commit crimes for money, spending child benefits on themselves, not permitting you to spend available funds on yourself or the children. Did any of that information surprise you? Remember, your physical and emotional safety and well-being are vitally important. So, if you feel that you have been or currently are a victim of any of these kinds of abuse, do contact the Crisis Effect team so we can signpost you to the appropriate form of support. In the meantime, I'm so glad you have some strategies and magic words to use in those more awkward moments. They have been such a game changer for so many recoverers over the years, and I look forward to being with you next time.